Pais Kuf Yudalad Al Targo Vishava Al Gufcha Afil Al Dvar Emes. Persons should not say a Shua, and obviously the Shua, the Nusach of the Shua shouldn't be that if this is not true, X whatever should happen to me. Even if what you think you're saying is true, the person shouldn't do it. The person shouldn't be ruggled to do it. The person doesn't. The person thinks he can do it. So we had the more of us. So we had the more gives and blam and hey, the woman made a shua. She thought she was making a shua sandwich. It turned out that there was a connection she didn't realize. It ended up that because they had a children, were, as you said, if one thing is true, Yohanna Samamovis and the Meister, they died. She didn't know that there was a connection that she missed. There's one thought I want to share with you, but the person could obviously, we have to spend the power of a shua. The set of a shua is that a person comes along and says that as much as the Kodesh Baruch Hu is true, this is also true. So the shua sheker is a terrible thing, because when it turns out what he's saying is that this is not true, he's saying Chas V'Shalom, he's assailing the emes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That's the Chil Hashem, which is inherent in the shua sheker. It has that element of, that's the Nekudah of Shua. The second Nekudah of Shua is, over here is Al-Gufa, that a person has to take seriously the taking care of himself, being aware of the impact that things can have on him. I want to focus on the last point, the Filah Dvar Emes. So here's a person making Shua, he believes he's saying the truth, and saying, don't do it, because maybe you don't know. So she was off by a word. She was off by one word. That, being off by a word, she said one word wrong, and the whole thing falls apart. The exactitude of the power of speech, that the person could say something, and you could say one word, comes out the way he doesn't want it to come out, and it makes a totally different picture. So the need to be precise. I remember once, I had some people over for the house, at the house, and I said over a concept, which is a difficult concept, but I knew they were going to ask me certain questions. So I specifically worded what I said in such a way they shouldn't ask me the question, but they would answer the question before they started. So I finished saying it all precise and exact, etc. They shouldn't have this question. So we just have one question, and they asked me the question. So afterwards, I asked my wife, like, you know, what happened? I just like I'm confused. I specifically said in a certain way the question didn't make it. Right away I said the question didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense. Like, what happened? I said it this way and I answered the question anyway. She says, you know, she says, you were trained in yeshiva to listen precisely. You speak precisely and you listen precisely. They weren't trained like that, so they heard basically this idea. I didn't say basically, I said it's exactly that idea. But he said basically this idea, which they expected me to say. Well, they had a question on it. They didn't listen precisely. I said, you know, thinking back, the Taka said, that's how we had it in Shir. Shir gifted with him, his brother, when you would ask him a question, he would answer exactly what you asked. Not what you meant to ask, not what you probably asked, but exactly what you asked. And most of us ask our questions not so precise. You know, you basic idea around here, you said a point basically. He wouldn't answer that. He would answer exactly the words that you said. He would listen to every single word that you said and answer exactly what you said. After doing that two or three times, you learn to be more precise and cheer. He wasn't doing it all single. He was doing it because he spoke precisely. He expected you to speak precisely. So you listen to exactly what you said. That's exactly what he answered. It's the most frustrating thing sometimes. Because you can't get the exact words that you want to say. You basically did. Everybody knows what you mean, you know. Except he didn't know what you meant. He knew exactly what you said. And that was it. And that was a training. And after sitting in cheer for 10 years, you got used to saying things very precisely. What exactly do you mean? Well, say exactly what you mean, please. And which is an expectation when it comes to the power of words. And we think sometimes an argument which broke out between two people because he said, and a lot of times the person doesn't mean to say that extra word or that listen, leave out that word. He really wants to say it the other way. But you're not careful how he says it. And next thing you know, it comes out not what you meant. You know, how many times have you said, you know, it came out not the way I wanted it to. And usually that happens when it makes a result which you're not happy with. You know, that somebody gets upset, whatever it's, you know, or you want to accomplish something that didn't get accomplished. and you're really upsetting yourself, you know, I wish it had come out differently. And those are the times when a person has to be aware of what they're saying. A person has to, you know, think through it, try and think through it beforehand. And I'm guilty of it also. What exactly do you want to say? How do you want to say it? How will it be heard by the person who's on the other end? Or over here, it's a cut of word. So how will it cut of word hear what you're saying? But how will it be heard by the person who's on the other end? One of my mantras in the world of Shimon Bias is that communication is not what you said, but the other person heard. How is the person going to hear what you're saying? How are they going to interpret what you're saying? What background do they have? How do they relate to the concept that you said and the words that you're using? Those are all important things in the world of communication. And one word off can make a very big difference. Many times when you don't get a second chance on some of these things. So the Rosh is talking about the world of Yeshua. A person says Yeshua, and he says one word off, it can be very dangerous. Very powerful thing. It tries any time a human being uses the power of speech. It's a phenomenally powerful thing, the power of speech. We have to use it very carefully and very wisely. One last nakuda, just back to the Shua part. I want to just, and I do mention one point about Shua. Because of this issue of Shua, because of this issue of how careful you have to do Shua, and I remember I was once walking here in the hallways, my first month that I was here, and I hear a young man saying, I swear to, and he starts, you know, by his M's name, and this is his tour. I put that. I went out to the hallway and said, what are you doing? You made a shua d'oraisa. You made a shua d'oraisa that he believes this is true. Did he really is, and then did he really mean it, you know? Well, there's no wells anymore. You said it already. Just be more careful the next time. You know, the language that he used. He was talking Shudra Isa. I never heard somebody being so flippant and so careless about Shudra Isa before. Since then I heard it more than once. People talk like that. That's how you talk. That's how people talk. I didn't really mean it. You know, that's how people talk. Well, no. But that's not, you know, I don't care how people talk, but I don't care whether you admit it or not, but that's what came out. And you're talking about Shu'ud Raisha, you're talking about the whole world shook. And the person said, Lazisa. Well, I'm going to tell you, I call it cute mice. You can interpret the mice yourself. I just saw on this last week, the Hamadiyah. This is a story, documented story, just took place in Japan or China, one of the Oriental countries. You know, that there was two neighbors who were arguing back and forth whether A owed B money. You know, A claims B owed him money, B says it's not true, and they've been going back and forth for years already on this station. Finally, A says to me, listen, if you swear by God that you don't know, I'll leave you alone. Finish. It's not worth it anymore. If you're willing to swear, I'll leave you alone. Fine. He says, but I want you to swear, you know, we want it to be real, you know. So they got the whole crowd together, and he gets up there and he swears. A minute later, a lightning bolt comes down from the heaven and hits him. The Maharishi Sahaja. The guy survives the lightning thing. They take him to the hospital. He survives. And the story ends up, they're not sure if he's paid the story. They haven't recovered yet to decide whether he's going to pay or not. But that's the story. You do whatever you want with it. That was the thing.